Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's the 21st of April, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, some say this is the final week for a new farm bill to be hammered out or not, and that we'll know the answer by tomorrow. And the meat inspectors say they are sorely understaffed. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in this half hour. And along the way, I'll remind you why it is important to control weeds and how glyphosate-resistant corn hybrids are changing that game. And don't forget, in 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss today's global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from the Archer Daniels Midland Company, ADM, resourceful by nature.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Monday afternoon. May wheat at 845 and three-quarter settlement price, down 24 and a quarter today. July futures at 859 and a half, down 25 and a half. And July of 09 settled at $8.90 in Chicago for the soft red, down 23 cents on this Monday afternoon. Corn pit May contract 580 and a quarter, settlement price down 19 and a quarter. July at 593 and three quarters, down 19 and one quarter. And September futures at 603 and a quarter, 18 cents lower. December contract 605 and a quarter, down 17 and one half. May soybean futures $13.15 and a half, down 46 cents today. July futures at 13.30 and a half, down 46 and a half. The August down 46 and a half as well at $13.20 and a half. And November soybeans at $12.35 and a half, down 45 and a half on the day. May bean meal futures at $3.36.80, down $9.90. July at $3.41.30, down $10.40 a ton. May soybean oil at $58.99, 100 weight, down $1.99. July down $2.02 at $59.72. Live cattle futures from the Mercantile Exchange. April contract today, a trade at $90.02 for a settlement price 47.5 higher. June futures at 91.95, down 37.5. April feeder cattle at 101.55, finished a nickel higher on the day. And the May futures at 106.25, up 30 cents. The May lean hogs today at 72.67.5, down a nickel. June futures at 72.97.5, down $1.37.5. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's the way the numbers settled. Here's some of the trade in the outside markets for the day. The May crude oil at $116.95, 26 cents higher a barrel. June futures now trading at $116.55, up 39 cents. The CRB index at $415.30 is down $4.06. And the U.S. dollar are down $4.06. Let's not make that $4.06. And the Dow Jones Industrial average at $12,802 is just about 47 points lower for the day. The dollar at 71.66, by the way, is down 0.35. Gold futures at 914.70, up $2.50 for the day. And the May futures at 915.20, up $2.40. Here's what the forecast looks like for the two-state region from our own Mike Sola. He says, tonight clear to partly cloudy skies, some areas of patchy fog. Lows will range from 50 in the eastern part of Indiana to near 60 in the western part of Illinois. Tomorrow in Illinois, becoming mostly cloudy, some scattered showers and thunderstorms arriving. In Indiana, partly to mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow will range from 68 in northwestern Illinois to near 80 in the far southern part of the state. Tomorrow, the lowest relative humidity levels on Tuesday will range from 40% in the east to 65% in the west. The extended forecast says another storm system will bring rain to Illinois and Indiana Thursday and Friday. Rainfall will generally be between a quarter and three-quarters of an inch, with local amounts up to an inch and a half. The heaviest rainfall over the next week is expected in the Mississippi River Valley through northern Illinois. Temps expected to remain above average through the work week, with a brief cool down on Saturday. As the impending storm system departs, no threat of frost is anticipated. More on the weather after the bottom of the hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
On the line with us this afternoon to take up the agricultural markets is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, where he serves as their senior grains analyst. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Kurt joins us each and every Tuesday, and every now and then he gets one that's a real down day in Chicago, and that was the case today, wasn't it?
Boy, limit down in the first half-hour trade wasn't a very good start to the week, but you know, the way the forecast sort of is unfolding here and the premium we had in the marketplace, we were due for some type of correction here. We've had a fairly good run from clear back last fall, so the market's sort of in a retreating mode. We'll see what the this afternoon's planning progress report shows. If it comes in at the lower end of range, maybe we can get a turnaround Tuesday and see maybe a little recovery this evening. Into tomorrow. D's corn did close above the $6 level. And November beans bounced pretty good off their lows, too, so we could be in a position of consolidation until we get through midweek in here and see what the forecast unfolds here as we go into the weekend.
Well, last week, that crop progress report showed 9% had normally been planted in Illinois across the state over the five-year average, although there was one year, 2005, the drought year, where 32% of the crop had been put in the ground, so that probably threw that average a bit to the high side. Last week, we were at zero. What's your guess for this week?
Well, as a nation, we're looking around 5 to 6%, averages anywhere, depends which average you use, 17 to 20%. That number jumps dramatically over the next 2 weeks. So, you know, the trade to watch today's report, even watch next week's report even closer, as we mainly watch the main growing region where very, very little has been done. We'll look at the state breakdowns and see what happens there. But we need to get Illinois, Iowa, you know, a good chunk of Indiana going here. If that fails to materialize here going into next week, you know, the trade will be a little bit more, one, put some premium back in the market. But with the forecast the way it is, planters rolling today in some areas, it sort of took the edge off. So it's going to be critical because, as we've stated in the past, if you take the supply-demand balance sheet and move yield up and down just a little bit, that moves the bottom line on the supply-demand balance sheet, as such as ending stocks more than anything.
Yeah, have you talked to producers who are in the field, and where might they be?
You go north of Bloomington Normal, Monunk, Roanoke. You go east of Bloomington Normal, Colfax Anchor. Then there's a good chunk of spots in Ohio getting some progress that's taking place here. This area will expand into tomorrow. There's quite a bit of anhydrous going on in a lot of the areas where, you know, still a little too wet to maybe run a planter through there, but they're willing to drag a toolbar through the field. So as a whole, the big majority of producers sort of got their hands in their pocket here for a minute. With the big input cost and a big investment, a lot of guys feel that rather give it a day or two and do it right instead of risking it.
Yeah, one of the risks they have with putting anhydrous on, and I'll just throw this out because I talked to Fabian Fernandez, who's the agronomist at the U of I. He's in Japan, or at least will be until Wednesday, but I was in email contact with him, is to make sure that they don't get nitrogen burn on the seed. They need to wait 5 to 6 days at a minimum before they go back in with a planter. I suppose that'll probably happen anyway. They're probably throwing that on acres that are extra acres, and they'll be the last set that they'll plant, but just one word of caution there. What do you see in the soybean market over the next week?
Well, we'll probably drift a little lower. South American crops come along in pretty good shape. Those beans are being available in the world market. The overall picture in beans, if you look at the July futures contract, we're sort of recording a head and shoulders top. Even the new crop November is sort of technically got a head and shoulders top being formed. We're below the longer-term moving averages, so The trend's going to be lower here over the near term, but I would think November beans under this $12 level will probably start to find support as breaks in here are going to continue to see buyers come forward. China's probably going to be around, ready for another round of purchases here in another 2 or 3 weeks. So the function of the market is probably to seep a little lower here to seek out that demand. And with the weak dollar and the strong world demand, I wouldn't be surprised to see that surface here on a good sizable break.
On the technical side, the head and shoulders chop, you're putting the neckline where?
Well, that's a good question.
About 12, is it at 1210 or is it $13? Those are a long ways apart. What are you using?
Well, you can connect the you can connect the late January low and that late April low, and that'll come across right near this 1135 area in the November. So you can sort of measure from there.
Oh, okay. So you're using the way that one tick down there way low. Gotcha. Okay. I was just wondering where you happen to put that. Anything else we need to talk about before I let you go for the day?
Well, the outside markets continue to hang in there. Crude oil and some of these outside markets were kind of sloppy earlier this morning, and that sort of ruined the confidence on the grain side of the equation. But as the day went on, the outside markets sort of held ground and firmed back up, and I think that sort of helped stabilize some of these grain markets. So crude oil and some of these other markets are still going to be a psychological boost to the marketplace as long as they can hold in there.
All right. Thanks much, Kurt.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, where he serves as the senior grains analyst. Kurt, of course, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Monday.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Just one other note to pass on from Fabian Fernandez, and while I don't have this in front of me, when I had written Fabian, asked him a question about anhydrous ammonia application, one of those things was to make sure that there was, if anhydrous was being put on, that there was some delay in planting after that. I'm sure most everybody knows that that's the expectation. At this point, he relatively believes that side dressing probably is the proper thing to do for any additional acres that you might be putting in the ground, and that you might wait to put your anhydrous ammonia on just a bit later. We'll get complete details from Fabian when he returns from Japan. That should happen Wednesday of this week, and we'll pass those along on Thursday or Friday. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll help us take a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, this appears to be the make-it-or-break-it week for new Farm Bill legislation. Friday, the President signed a one-week extension of the 2002 Farm Bill. The White House has made it clear that it will not agree to any additional short-term extensions, putting pressure on Congress to solve funding issues and get a bill to the President by Friday. But House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson says that's an impossible task. Peterson says even if Congress hammers out funding and program details, it will take an additional 2 weeks to put the bill down on paper for signature. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman and Conference Committee Chairman Tom Harkin is threatening to demand roll call votes on major farm bill elements, including financing.
If by Tuesday there isn't, and I don't even mean progress, if there isn't a settlement made on this by Tuesday that is agreeable to the House leadership, our leadership, to the House Ways and Means, and the Finance Committee, if it isn't, I will exercise my authority as chairman, begin having votes. And what I mean is I will put to a vote on this side certain items and packages. They may win, they may not. Now, I haven't done that so far because I want negotiations to continue. But at least we'll start voting on it.
The next Farm Bill Conference Committee session is scheduled for tomorrow. A union official representing USDA's meat inspectors says the agency is so understaffed that inspectors fail to visit their plants daily as required by law. Stanley Painter is chairman of the National Joint Council of Food Inspection Local Unions. Painter says a union survey found 75% of inspectors did not visit their plants daily as required, and when they did, often the processing lines moved so quickly that it was impossible to detect potential contamination. Painter says plant management has created a culture for employees to skirt around FSIS regulations. U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab and cattle industry officials are applauding a deal to reopen South Korea's market fully to U.S. beef exports. National Cattlemen's Beef Association Chief Economist Greg Dodd.
This is a $1 billion day for the U.S. cattle and beef business.
The agreement will take effect in mid-May. It calls for South Korea to reopen its market to all U.S. beef and beef products from cattle of all ages. And European Union Trade Commissioner Peter Mandelson says failure to reach a world free trade deal this year would be, quote, verging on the criminal. Mandelson says 2008 is the last chance for the Doha round for the foreseeable future. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website where you can hear those two programs and other agricultural radio programming anytime you'd like. It's all at willag.org. That's willag.org. We have a free weekend marketing newsletter, too. It's on the right-hand side of the page at willag.org. Just hit subscribe. It's a good one. You'll be glad you did it. It's all at willag.org. Up next, farmers know that you control weeds to save yield. I'll have more and a reminder that during these times of very high prices, not dealing with a weed problem in a timely manner can be very, very costly. Weeds compete with the crop for sun and water. That's why it's important to get rid of them early in the season, says University of Illinois weed scientist Aaron Hager. He says farmers who try to save money by delaying an herbicide application to catch more weeds or by lowering the application rate may actually end up costing themselves bushels. This year, more than most, he says, those dollars will add up quickly.
And if we just do simple calculations, let's say of the cost of weed interference on corn yield, we can see obviously at the difference between, let's say, $2 or $2.50 a bushel corn versus what farmers may be actually able to acquire this year in 2007, $4 or $4 plus corn. If you talk simply, you know, something easily, say a 5% yield loss potential, if weeds are allowed to compete too long with the corn crop before they're moved, 5% of 100 bushel is, you know, merely 5 bushel an acre yield loss. You know, at $2 an acre, that's only $10. If you go to $4 an acre, now you're talking a $20 an acre loss.
Here's where the weed specialist gets concerned. Many producers will, for the first time ever, use a glyphosate-resistant corn hybrid. They'll pay extra money for that seed, maybe on the idea that they can save money on the number of trips across the field and or on the amount of herbicides used. That's not necessarily the case.
Any weed species that emerges with the corn, those typically are your most competitive species and not necessarily the ones that come up 5 or 6 weeks after we plant. So the idea of reducing the cost of weed control inputs in glyphosate-resistant corn many times focuses on the idea, well, instead of using a full rate of a soil residual herbicide, we may reduce the cost by cutting that rate in half. So, for example, many times we think, well, I'll take a, let's say, a $20 an acre herbicide at a full rate and then cut that in half to try to reduce costs. So we'll spend $10 an acre for a soil residual program. If we're late in trying to come in then and clean up any escapes, and these escapes then are enough and significant enough to reduce corn yield loss, it's not going to take many bushels an acre in 2007 to make up that difference of $10 that the farmer tried to reduce his cost down.
It means, says Aaron Hager, that if a farmer tries to reduce input costs by either cutting the rates for soil residual herbicides, not using them at all, and or delaying the glyphosate application to catch a larger number of weeds on the thought of making just one pass, well then, those big weeds will compete for the sun and the water and lower yields. Because those bushels would have been worth more, the cost savings will be eaten up by the crop losses. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
It's a Monday afternoon, time to take a look at the cash grain market. Here on the Closing Market Report, we're joined by Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Greg, we have another radio station that has joined us on the Closing Market Report. You know we air on WILL and that we air on WHOW out of Clinton. And we're glad to have listeners in the Taylorville area from WTIM join us. They probably don't know what the Andersons is. Because you don't have any Anderson elevator that far to the west of here, why don't you tell them what that might be up front?
Well, we're a regional elevator base out of Ohio, but we have elevators in Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, and the one, like you said, in Illinois. And we're just a terminal, so we handle corn, soybeans, and wheat basically by truck, comes in by truck, and then load everything out by rail, with the exception of our Toledo, Ohio facility, where we load out vessels for export.
Now, some of our listeners probably are picking this up off the website, and they could very well be in that Springfield area. This program airs on WTIM from 5:30 to 6 o'clock in the evening, is tape delayed. So each and every business day, you can pick us up then on WTIM if you happen to be in their local listening area. It's on the FM site. I don't recall what where they are on the dial, but I bet you can find it between 5:30 and 6 if you try real hard. Why don't you tell me a little bit, Greg, about what happened in the cash grain market for the day?
Well, we're starting to see a big improvement in the soybean basis. We've been talking about an improvement over the last 2 or 3 months. We didn't know exactly when it was going to happen, but we finally started to see it happening. Basis at the Gulf has probably improved 20 cents over the last month and a half, and it was up another nickel last week. Corn basis has been kind of flat. We think that'll get better too, but so far we've not really seen the improvement in corn basis. We started to see at the Gulf today a little bit better. That hasn't translated back into better rail bids yet here in the country, but I think it will. So we've seen a nice improvement in the bean basis. A lot of the beans out west are under loan. Minnesota and Iowa alone, those two states have half of the beans that are under loan in those two states. So the when the farmers get in the field and if the processors still need beans, and you know the exports and what have you are slow out of South America due to strikes or whatever, bean basis may continue to get even better yet. And we think the corn basis will get a little bit better as well. But for now, bean basis has definitely improved over the last month, and corn basis is just starting to get better.
And your expectations, I know, as we hit the planters, start to roll, will be that the basis for both tightens up. By how much, do you think?
Well, since the bean basis has already improved 25, 30 cents, we may see another 10 or 15 cents there. And with corn, maybe 7, 8 cents over the next month.
Yeah, and what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn tonight finishes down 19 cents at 560 for April and 565 for May. New crop corn also 565. Beans are 1290 for April and 1295 for May. New crop beans are 1145. And new crop wheat is 719.
And we appreciate you taking the time today, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm your host, Todd Gleason. Welcome to all the folks that are listening on WTIM out of Taylorville, Illinois. We'll be back in 2 minutes with a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Chocolate Covered Cashews Day. Small quantities of cashews were imported into the U.S. as early as 1905. World trade started after representatives of the General Food Corporation discovered these nuts during their mission to India in the early 1920s. It's also St. Buenos Day, patron against cattle diseases. On this day in agricultural history in 1835, Samuel Slater died. Slater was an English-American mechanical engineer who founded the American Cotton Textile, establishing the first successful cotton mill in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, and others in the New England region. In 1838, John Muir was born. Muir was a naturalist who was largely responsible for the establishment of Sequoia National Park in California in 1890. Muir drew attention to the devastation of mountain meadows and forests by sheep and cattle, leading to his role as father of the national park system. And in 1915, Garrett Hardin was born. Hardin was an American biologist and author known for his classic essay on ecology and social ethics, Tragedy of the Commons, which was published in 1968. The story was a parable about farmers who allowed to graze their cattle in one field as much as they wanted to. Each acted in their own self-interest, and the field was eventually destroyed. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon. We're usually at this time joined by the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, to take a complete look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather across the globe. They're not available for the day, but we do have our own Mike Sola's forecast for the two-state region, Illinois and Indiana. It says tonight skies will be clear to partly cloudy, some areas of patchy fog. Lows will range from 50 in the eastern part of Indiana to near 60 in the western part of Illinois. Tomorrow, Mike says, in Illinois, becoming cloudy, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms will arrive in Indiana, partly to mostly sunny. Highs will range tomorrow from 68 in northwestern Illinois to near 80 in the far southern part of Illinois. The extended forecast, another storm system, will bring rain to Illinois and Indiana Thursday and Friday. Rainfall generally will range between a quarter and three quarters of an inch. Some local amounts up to an inch and a half. The heaviest rainfall over the next week expected in the Mississippi River Valley through northern Illinois. Temperatures are expected to remain above average through the work week, with a brief cool down on Saturday as the impending storm system departs. No threat of frost is anticipated. You can see the complete forecast from the Meteorological Department here at WILL anytime you'd like. On our website, the address is willag.org. That's willag.org. While you're there, you can sign up for our free podcast or for our free weekend marketing newsletter. Both of them are absolutely free and really good value to you. If you'd like to pick up the newsletter, just hit subscribe on the right-hand side of willag.org. It's just as easy to unsubscribe there, too, if you'd like. That newsletter is delivered to you on Sunday evening and is just chock full of good marketing information about what happened all week long in the marketplace. Speaking of that, Commodity Week is also available on the website. Program that we record at just about 4:30 on Friday afternoons. And if you'd like to listen to that one, it's available on the website by 6 o'clock. Doesn't air usually on any radio station until Saturday morning sometime. So if you'd like to pick that one up early, you can do that on the website at willag.org. Commodity Week is our weekly look at what's been happening in the commodity markets. Normally we have three guests in studio with us, all commodity brokers, and somebody of note on the phone line. And for half an hour, we talk about the marketplace and nothing but the marketplace. It's a good program if you're involved in the state's number one industry, agriculture, right here in Illinois. We appreciate the time that you take to listen to us each and every day, and we hope that you have a very good week. Stay safe out there if you're getting started with your planting season. And remember, take some time out when you get involved in that planting season. I know you think you're running just a bit late. Don't work too many hours. Try to get 8 hours of sleep. Rest if you can. And during the afternoon, you might slip out of the tractor cab, take a little nap for 10 or 15 minutes. I know that the folks that deal with agricultural accidents here on campus would say that's the very best thing that you can do to make sure you stay safe. Get that sleep, take a little nap in the afternoon, and keep the planters rolling. You have a good day. I'm Todd Gleason.